years in Richard and Jenny DiMartino. I think the first missions trip that I went on when I was the district youth director was to take a team and come and be with them, and I think I've done that a couple of times. We have some funny stories from those that I will not tell yet today. I enjoyed my time with the DiMartinos. I enjoyed watching them on the field. They are church planters. I've had opportunity to be with them in a couple of different places there, and it's amazing how the Lord gifts people with certain abilities to accomplish His work. And these two are not only dear friends. I told them, I said, they are our hands extended to Mexico. The work that they do, because we have opportunity in supporting them, we get to have credit with them, because they couldn't go without your prayers, without your support. And they go because we provide for them. We have supported them a long time. And every new church that's planted and every new soul that comes to Christ, we get to shout hallelujah with you, because the Lord is building His church. Would you welcome with me, please, Richard and Jenny DiMartino as they come to you.
We are so blessed to be here today with you. But one thing, I thank God that I'm not a buck or a deer. He should get a reward for being such a hunter. Oh my goodness. Jesus called us to be hunters of men, fishers of men. I guess I got it wrong. I thought it was fishers of Mexicans. Men. But God got it right. Amen. Today we're celebrating this year, 28 years on the mission field. And I'm glad I can celebrate it with you. Of course, Jesus gets all the glory and the honor and the praise. But you guys are our heroes. So often they always say that the missionaries are heroes and they want to put us on pedestals and all this kind of stuff. But believe me, we're just like you. We've sat where you sat. Or where you're sitting now. Sometimes we wish that we can still be sitting where you sit and make you go. We'll send you. But that's not the case here this morning. But you're our heroes. Even though you don't know us too good. I'm Italian from Hillside, New Jersey, so I don't want the outfit or the mustache fool you. But they love it. You know, they love us and we love them. And that's what it's all about. And we're just, I can be here all morning. I know my time is limited, but I'm going to let my wife speak a little bit. She does it better than I do.
That's not really true, but God bless you folks. It's great to be here this morning, and we do thank you so much for your faithful support over the many years that Grace has been supporting us. We've been here several times during the last 28 years, and it's great to be back with Pastor Doug. Yeah, remember when we lost a lady? And I just was remembering that on the way. We lost it. We'd left a girl in the shopping area. Poor thing. We got her. We rescued her. But you know, there's a lot of bad news today. If you watch the news, there's a lot of bad news coming out of from the border, out of Mexico. There's bad news here in the United States. There's bad news coming out of the Middle East. But we come to tell you that there is good news. There is good news coming out of Mexico. God is so good. God is saving Mexicans for His honor and His glory. He saved a young man in one of our Assembly God churches who ended up in our church for the last 5 years, named Abraham. Abraham, I believe, suffered an abusive childhood, and which pushed him towards homosexuality. He was living a homosexual lifestyle, young man, when God came into his life. God came into his life and changed his life. Changed his life radically. He ended up in our church. He started Bible school about 3 years ago. He graduated in May. We were able to be there for the graduation of the Bible school in our church. Just last night, I got the picture on Facebook this morning of him arriving at the door after a very, very long bus ride to Kamad. Kamad is our missionary training school in Mexico. Mexico is sending missionaries around the world. Mexico is sending missionaries to the Muslim world. Not only is Abraham starting missionary training, but we have another girl from our church in Puebla, where Pastor Doug was with us, who started in our youth group. She got saved in our church. Her and her husband are now missionaries to Morocco. Another girl from our church with her new husband, she's already been on the field, are preparing to go back to Jordan. So God does amazing, amazing things. He's saving, he's delivering, he's calling to the ministry. He's equipping the saints. He's also healing. We have seen so many healings. Just one really quick testimony. One of our young people in our church was riding in the back of a truck on a very bumpy road, which is all the roads in Mexico. And they went over a bump. She broke her tailbone. She broke her tailbone. And it happened to be the last week that we were in Mexico before we were coming home. This was another furlough. And she came to church. They had to bring her. She said, I don't want to miss church. I want to say goodbye to my pastors. They brought her, and she had to be laid on a type of a hammock seat because she could not stand up. She had the x-rays. It was really, really broken. She was in a lot of pain. That Sunday, I preached the message, and afterwards, we prayed. We had people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Monse, we prayed for Monse. I walked away. A few minutes later, one of the deacons came up to me, and he said, Pastora, they call me Pastora, look at Monse. She's healed. She was jumping up and down. She was completely healed of a broken tailbone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And just one more. God heals. God saves. He convicts of sin. We were going to do one of our many medical clinics that we do with healthcare. We've done at least 7 in Puerto Vallarta. And we had all set up on Sunday. We were ready to go Monday morning with our clinic. We all went home. The team went to the hotel. The next morning we were on the way to church when we got a phone call on our cell phone saying that we had been robbed. So we got to the church to see what they had robbed, and thank God they had not been able to get to our pharmacy. That was locked, that was safe, but they had broken into the office and stolen electronics and all kinds of things, like Rich says, things that he didn't even remember that we had. They stole. And our first reaction was to call the police, but then he said, no, let's not call the police. If we call the police, they're going to stop the clinic from starting. We'll be delayed. Let's just keep going. Let's just pray about this and leave it in the Lord's hand. At 11 o'clock that morning, somebody came to the door. A man came to the door asking for a Bible. I answered the door, and he said, is the pastor here? Well, I'm one of the pastors, but I knew he wanted to speak to a man. So I took him in. Rich was doing errands, which he always does when we have teams. So I took him to our Argentine pastor, missionary pastor, and he sat down with him. And within 2 seconds, the Argentine pastor was calling me over. He says, you have to hear this. I sat down with them, and this man began to confess that he was the one that had robbed us. He said, I came back because you people only do good. He said, you're here to help my people. And I don't know why I did this. And so he said, I want to give everything back. And he did. He gave everything back, and he accepted the Lord Jesus right then and there into his heart. Amen. And there are hundreds of like testimonies that we could go on all morning, but we don't have the time. But just know that your support and your prayers are well invested. And you will be able to reap the missionary's reward one day when we all get to heaven. Amen?
And it's not over yet. We went to the 100th year anniversary, and we left challenged. We left challenged as we heard of the suffering church, and that we as Assemblies of God and as born-again believers that love God must be willing to abandon ourselves to Jesus and to put our life on the line, to purposely hazard our lives for the gospel, or else say goodbye to the Assemblies of God. We have a 5-minute video real quickly that shows 28 years of ministry It starts off when we just begun in 86, and our kids helped us to get on the field, Janine, Joel, and Justin. We got four granddaughters now, so it makes it even harder to get back to leave them. And January 15th, we're going back, God willing, to the city of Guadalajara, 6.5 million people. We are challenged to raise, by January 1st, $15,000 for a church planting project. This has been a tremendous journey of faith from the beginning to the end, to start it and even to leave it. We left our people Mother's Day, and, well, I can be here all day, and I don't want to keep on going on and on, but enjoy the video. You'll see the Ark of Salvation, where 2,000 children were saved in 3 years in Paraguay, and a double rainbow came out on our dedication program over the Ark. And then there's five churches, and then our challenge to go to the city of Guadalajara. So enjoy the video. Workers are few. You heard that. And I'm going over, how about you? And that's why we're here this evening, as we go to church in order to raise our support. We already have been to about 157 churches already, but we have about 50 churches left to go. And then hopefully December 26th, we'll be leaving for the country of Costa Rica for language school. I have a song that I'd like to share with you, and the name of that song is Go. You know, Jesus.
Ye therefore and teach all nations, go, go, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, go, go, go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. On our way to Guadalajara, please pray for us. Getting the church and the world ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to share three C's of the mission of missions: called, chosen, and commissioned. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And that's so great because it ends on a positive note for us. Amen? The gospel shall be preached unto all nations. And when that last person hears the good news and accepts Jesus, we get to go home. One day Jesus asked a five-level question to his disciples. And he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course they all responded. But then he asked them a 10-level question, was even deeper. And he said, "Who do you say... Who do you say that I am?" No, and then he asked him, he said, the other way around. "Who do you say that I am?" And that is a hard question. That goes to the heart. So I ask you a five-level question this morning. How many believe that Jesus is coming this morning? And the second question, the 10-level one, is a hard question. And that one is, are you ready? Can you honestly examine yourself this morning and say, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go if Jesus should come"? Well, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Amen? Like Pastor was saying, in communion, we do this until Jesus comes. And I'd rather be ready and he doesn't come than not to be ready and he does come. And it's our responsibility as the church and as missionaries and his ambassadors, in this case, to Mexico, in order to get the people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get the urgency of my message this morning into your heart, because we have all been called, but few are chosen. We're all called as individuals out of the world system. His church are the called out ones. We are the called out ones. And then if you think about it this morning, out of 7 billion people on planet Earth, you and I have been called and chosen by God to be a great part of His master plan, and that is to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the nations. Therefore, we all need to be about our Father's business in order to win the lost and get the church ready, His bride, because the bridegroom is on His way. And He has chosen many of us, like Jenny and I and other missionaries, other persons, literally to go into all the nations and bring the gospel, because the Bible tells us very clearly that the church age is coming to an end. There is an expiration date that only God the Father knows, and without a doubt, from the signs and everything happening around us, that it is very soon, even sooner than we think. So we are called and we are chosen by God, and when the church age comes to an end, Jesus will come for His bride, the church. Amen? How many are part of the bride of Christ, if you know what I'm talking about this morning? And then there'll be no more delays. The age of grace will come to an end. Therefore, we are the last chance generation. I don't know what you believe individually, but what does God really have to do to convince you and I that we are in the last generation? This is it. They said that, many people said that year after year after year after year throughout the centuries, but we are the last chance generation. The last call, the last opportunity, the last chance to be saved. And then will His judgments be poured out, and there'll be no longer a delay on a sinful and adulterous generation. Now, all the people of the world, no matter where they come from, their lifestyle, and no matter how sinful it is, they deserve the opportunity to hear the gospel of repentance. Many of us don't even like to speak that word or say that to anybody, but repentance is a great and wonderful thing. I remember the day that I repented of my sin and won the victory. And Jesus rescued me just in time. And He sends us out as His minutemen in order to bring the gospel to men and women that need to get saved. Because if people do not get the gospel, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, they will die and perish in their sin. Every nation, every country, every person on the face of the earth has a revelation of God through nature, but that revelation through God through nature cannot save anyone. They need the revelation of who Jesus Christ is through the Holy Word, and we as preachers must go and be sent. Therefore, as the called, chosen, and commissioned ones, that we go forth to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and to win the lost at any cost, because the harvest is truly great, but the workers are few. Called, with the called out ones, that's what we are, His church, the bride of Christ. And what's the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all those things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So therefore, we all need to participate in order to fulfill the Great Commission of His church, to go, to give, and to glorify God. It's all of our calling to go. Jesus commands us to go. And we're here today to thank you for sending us. Thank you for sending us to the Mexican people and to Latin America. For we are all partners in missions. We work together or we don't work at all. And someday soon Jesus will reward us, for our work in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So we're all called. But then He chooses. He chooses us, John 15:16, to go forth and to bear fruit, that our fruit would remain, that whatsoever we ask of the Father, according to His will, He heareth us. Anything we could ask of the Father, but as long as according to His will, then He'll give it to us to advance His kingdom on the face of the earth. And Jesus chose Peter. And Jesus said to Peter on the night of the resurrection, or during that week on the beach, those days that He was with them, He revealed Himself. And He said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? I'll tell you, Pastor, when it gets really difficult, and you know how it does, I hear Jesus say that to me when I'm in my office and I'm alone. And I need friends. I need Jesus in the flesh sometimes. Could be a friend, could be a call, could be somebody that comes to me. But then I hear Jesus say, Ricardo, tú me amas. He says, do you love me? And I say, Lord, you know that I love you. And He says, feed my sheep. And He says, do you love me? And I said, Lord, you know I love you. He says, take care of my lambs. And when He comes that real to me, then it's all worth everything that we have to give up and suffer. And the obedience becomes better than sacrifice. And Jesus has chosen us to be a part of His bride, to get her ready, because the bridegroom is coming soon. Now, if you're here today and you really feel that God may be drawing you into foreign missions or even into the ministry full time, I just want to help you out with these 10 tests that you have to go and conquer. You have to become an overcomer. And sometimes you'll have to repeat them over again because God didn't like the way that you went through it the first time, that He has to let you go through it again and maybe again and again. And then you got to hold on. You can't give up. That's the thing, see? And then you'll be chosen to do great and mighty things and to be His ambassador in Mexico. Oh, my goodness. Me? The time test. The word test. The servant hearts test. The wilderness test. The self-preparation test. The overcoming troubles test. The frustration test. The spiritual warfare test. The vision and the calling of your life's test, and the promotions test. Jesus said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Therefore the Lord has called and chosen us to fulfill his perfect will and his good pleasure. And then lastly, called, chosen, we are commissioned. The times of the Gentiles must come to fulfillment, and it's coming soon. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not that you be, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." The end of age will come when the total number of the Gentiles have come in. And then the great and terrible day of the Lord will come, and his wrath will be poured out on an ungodly and lost world. So please catch the urgency. Catch the urgency in your heart to get this gospel to those who deserve the human right to hear it for the very first time. The times of Jacob's trouble is at hand. The 7 years of great tribulation are before us. God's time clock, we know, is Israel. And all prophecy will come to pass. There will be one world government, one world religion, one world currency. World War III is at the doorstep. Things are moving so closer, even more closer than when I wrote this message a year ago. And we are his church. And we must do everything that we can to win the lost and to get the gospel to the nations before it's too late, and then the end will come. John Starnes sang a beautiful song years ago. By the way, my little one, Justin, he sang at Sight and Sound and played Joseph, and now he's applying for mission this year to the media missions in Spain. So if you pray for my little boy. He won the microphone, by the way. He sang the song. I want Justin to sing this song too someday. Win the lost at any cost. And I ask you this morning, what is it really costing you personally and individually to win the lost? I challenge you this morning, as the Lord sent me here to give you this message, because I tell you that one lifetime as a missionary in Mexico for me is not enough. I wish I had another life to give. You see what they did to me? My hair turned white. My mustache turned white. Little rascals. But I love them. I love them. They love me. You know what they did on our despedida when we left? Our farewell service? They washed our feet. And hugged and kissed us until even today. They feel kind of lost without us, but they have a new pastor, and he's Mexican, and that's what it's all about. So if you're here today, and you haven't been born of the Spirit, you haven't been saved by the blood of the Lamb, today's the day. Can you just imagine for a minute the next person that you witness to will be the last soul to be saved, and then we get to go home with Jesus? So if you're here today and you're not saved, please, friend, we love you so much. And we'll even love you more if you'll just give your heart to Jesus. Because then we can all go home. We want to go home. How many want to go home and be with the Lord? I want to go home and be with the Lord. I love these new adventures. You know, five of them, and now one on the way. A step of faith to the end. Faith. It's faith the whole way. So if you're that last person today, please give your heart to Jesus so that we can all go home. The church today needs a fresh and a new burden and passion for the lost. We as Pentecostals claim to have the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit from on high to be his witnesses. And that word in the Greek literally means to be his martyrs, to lay down our life for the gospel. And whether we want to do that or not, I'd rather do it willingly than be forced to. So I end this morning with this challenging question. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to give? How are you going to make a difference? How are you going to make a difference for the people of Mexico? All of them want to come here. I'm not going to go there, but I want to go there. When I'm there, I want to be here. When I'm here, I want to be there. You know how that goes. Luke 21:36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Wow. To stand before Jesus. After knowing that he was totally innocent, he was only 33. I just turned 62 and I look back and he's only a kid. He's like my Joel, my Justin, like my daughter Janine. He's only a kid, Jesus was, when they crucified him on the cross, and he was without sin. Innocent. And yet we're going to have to stand before him individually and look into his eyes and be given an account of our life. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do to make the difference for somebody? Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him who they have not heard, not believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" You are the senders, and we are the goers, and we thank you for that. The people of Mexico are blessed because you have sent us to them. And we are blessed because we were able to go. And I know and I believe this morning that you are blessed, that you are a part of sending us to wonderful people that need so much the Lord. It's a real privilege for us to go and to win and disciple the lost. Romans 13:11-14 says that our salvation is so close, even more now than we first believed. But there is an expiration date, and then it'll be too late. So will you give? Will you go and pray for us and work till Jesus comes? Jesus said, "Occupy until I come." And one of my favorite missionary verses that touched my heart in Valley Forge Christian College many years ago when I felt God calling me into the ministry, John 20:21, as he went through the sealed doors through the wall in his resurrection body, he said to his disciples, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Let us stand this morning. Pastor, will you come? I wish I had hours to spend with you here and just tell you of all the wonderful people we've been able to touch their lives with the gospel. I even had a chat room. I was a pastor there. You know, many times pastors don't get a chance to be around unsaved people. Yeah. You know, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, I got to get out and start doing something. So I opened, a lady lent me her storefront, and I opened up as a chat room. And I put tables out and chairs and some food and something to drink and invited them in. And I said, "Did anybody ever tell you the story of salvation?" And they'd say, "No." I said, "You have a minute?" And they would sit with me and I'd share the gospel message with them. And just the last few months before I left, I got to lead 15 people to the Lord. And you know, there's stuff that we can do that we've never done before. And if we're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and so available and willing, that God will use you in such a way that you couldn't even think or imagine. So, pray for us. Yes. Pray for a great revival in Mexico. Oh, that would be so fuerte, so strong, that it'll run over the borders into America. And then all Americans will want all the Mexicans to come.